B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour. Landis Block brings it to you. Your one-stop shop. Created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. And all the people that seemingly bail on Carson Wentz. It is an interesting phenomenon to me. And I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. Because I was thinking about the early years of Donovan McNabb. And I'm looking at the circumstance when McNown came into game. And you got all the Twitter feedback. Yeah, I should have McNown in there. He threw two dump offs and one short completion, right? But people were like, McNown is more reliable in this situation than Wentz. That never happened to McNabb his first 3 years in the league. It happened later.
Right.
When guys like Garcia were backed up and Feely and all those guys had success. It didn't happen in his first 3 years.
Absolutely not. Everybody was very loyal to Fox for years.
So what is the disloyalty about? Can it just be about the Foles thing, or is there something more to it?
I think it's the Foles thing. And the other part is, he's not stereotypical Philadelphia, and we'll turn on people if they're not stereotypical Philadelphia, in that he's not from here. He doesn't really get into any of the petty stuff that we get into, that we attach ourselves to. He kind of stays above that, which I prefer. Seems like a guy who's like with his wife and at the Eagles facility looking at film, and then plays games. And he gives back to charity. That's all this guy does, it seems like.
And he wears bad outfits.
Well, whatever with that. Yeah. I disagree about the outfits, but and they're itching. So this is where it's so tough. He can be Marino, and fans won't like him because of that Super Bowl. But that's
because of the cloud of Foles.
Right, but the tough part about that is, though, we're only in now entering week three. He can't win the Super Bowl this Sunday. He can only go out and do his best to try to beat Detroit.
You know, I guess it's when you put it all together. You know, the Eagles under Donovan McNabb in the early years were in pursuit, building this block to get to a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So the loyalty was more with Donovan in that process. Since they won a Super Bowl, the loyalty is less to Wentz because they did it
right
to somebody else.
Right, and it's like, oh, whatever. Think about that. Obviously, the goal is always to win a championship. But like Barkley didn't win a title with the Sixers, but he's still beloved in the city.
Uh-huh.
And AI didn't win it. But we saw how beloved he was at FanFest.
Mm-hmm.
But Wentz, the only way Wentz can become beloved is to win a Super Bowl. That's the only way. He can be the best quarterback in the league. He can lose the playoff game 51-48, and he'll still take the blame unless he wins a Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl or bust for his entire career. That's a hard way to work, but hey, he gets paid a lot of money. You got to suck it up.
The Eagles made a move today. Very interesting. This is like covering your tracks. They have promoted Alex Ellis, the tight end. So now they'll have three tight ends around. They have to do that because Goddard's hurt. But they were in such a desire to activate Craig James, the cornerback that they signed the week before to play on special teams. Now they just waived them.
Well,
To activate Alex Ellis.
That's the problem. They were talking about that yesterday. Nobody went on IR. So they look at the roster and go, who can we get rid of because we need a tight end?
Yeah.
And they can't, even if you're not going to do any 12 personnel, you can't play Ertz every play again. You just can't do that.
Nice knowing you, Craig James.
And I think they probably hope that they can sign him back once somebody else comes back.
All right, let's go to Damon in West Philly. Damon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Damon.
Hey, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Real quick story. Late 80s, I'm in school up in New York. My buddies and I are walking down the street, and my boy Sean goes, there's Rico Kasich. Well, he turned and looked, and he, like, went behind his gated apartment as if we were trying to rob him.
Yeah, really?
Like,
he ran?
Dude, I kid you not. And I'm like, that was the furthest thing from my mind. Like, my buddies was a musician, so we were, like, showing him love. But, Dad, that was my account on Rico Kasich, man. But,
you know, he probably wasn't a very recognizable guy because he blended in. He just looked like a tall, skinny freak. You know, he didn't really look like a rock star.
Because I was like, okay, there he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's all good. But, Mike, okay, let me start the Carson thing because I was going to go last with that. So my brother's at the game on Sunday, and he and I text throughout the game. And he gives me a text, Carson Wentz is not a better quarterback than Foles. He's a better athlete. I'm like, dude, relax. Like, come on. Like, you got to catch your rhythm. Boom. And he does, and he apologized. My brother did apologize later. But the thing is, man, I had my buddy today tell me Dak Prescott's a better quarterback. Like, what is it that people are so down on this guy? They forget that he left.
Well, you know, it's really an interesting phenomenon. They're willing to jump off his bandwagon in a split second. I really don't get it, other than that the Super Bowl tainted everybody, and they don't look at him as important because somebody else won a Super Bowl. That has to be it. But, like, I'm just comparing it. Damon, like, Donovan McNabb, like, we were all up in him for his first 3 years. Like, we would have never thought about the backup came in for a few plays. Let's keep the backup in.
Yes. And I've heard people say McCown should have stayed in. But I'm wondering if, and I'm going to make one more point about the running back, I'm wondering if they're upset because he got hurt in that Rams game. Like, subconsciously, I'm wondering if people, like, are still angered towards him because he didn't finish the job. You know what I'm saying? It's just a weird dynamic, man. I can't put my finger on it. As far as Jordan Howard goes, Mike, and please, tell me if I'm wrong. It seems as though he gets in the game, he'll do 4 or 5 yards once or twice, and then they pull him. I'm not understanding, like, what is he doing wrong?
Yeah, you know, he probably is a multi-carry back in an offense that's not multi-carry. And I don't know if we're ever going to see that efficiency out of Jordan Howard. And it's a great observation. He's, like, DeMarco Murray was a guy, you had to give him ball, and eventually he would break you down. But when he came here, he had lost his step. Now, my fear is twofold with Jordan Howard. Number one, they're not going to give him multi-carry. He's going to be in and out, and maybe he can't function that way. And the other thing is, I don't know, maybe he has lost a half a step, like DeMarco Murray did when he was here. But then when DeMarco Murray went to another team, he played well when he got the ball consistently for one more year.
Yeah, Chip.
So I don't know. I have no idea. Let's go, Mark in Miami. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike. What's up,
bud?
On?
How you doing?
Okay, first thing. Probably in the top five, if not number one, are the Wilson sisters.
Yeah, but it's funny because not one of them, like, the front is the singer, right? She's the front, but they kind of share the spotlight. Yeah, and so Nancy and Ann share the spotlight, so there's not the definitive front woman.
Yeah, but in the 70s, they were probably the two hottest women in rock.
No, well, hottest in what? As far as looks?
You look at their pictures from that era.
Ann Wilson? Nancy was hot.
Yeah,
not the other one.
You got to remember, in the 70s, look at her in the 70s.
No, man, she was never hot.
Anyway, right. Let me get to my point. Yeah, why isn't this trade done already?
Why isn't the what?
Why isn't the trade done already?
Oh, wow, because I don't know. What would you give up? You got to make it palatable for them, right? The rumor is now they won 2 first-round picks. Now,
what team is giving them 2 first-round picks? That's in the playoffs.
Somebody might. Somebody might, really, if it comes to this. What should the Eagles do? What's the best deal that you can come up with, Mark?
I give them a 1-3. I give them Sydney, even though I don't want to.
You give them a 1-3 and Sydney.
Yeah, but I tried to give him somebody else before. But it depends on what the Eagles think of Sydney.
Well, you got to give something. Like who would you're not going to give. They're not going to take trash from you. So you got to give him a guy with upside.
Then I'm down. Let's go.
All right, so it's a first and a third. We have upped it from a fifth or fourth. Now you're giving up a first and a third in Sydney Jones.
Well, I want to get done today. You say somebody's going to offer him a fourth.
All right, Tyrone. Let's go to the checks and balances, man. Tyrone Lannister. Tyrone Lannister, what do you think? 1-3 and Sydney.
If I can get that done today, I do it. I don't want to do it, but if a third versus a fourth gets the deal done now, I do it.
Third, Sydney Jones, boom.
Yep, I would prefer fourth or fifth.
That's the best deal that's on the board, Eagle fans. Are you doing 1-3 and Sydney Jones for Jalen Ramsey?
I don't really want to do that, but if it's going to get me so I can possibly even play him this week, then yeah, I do it.
All right, let's go, Mike and Warrington. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Yo, Mike, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
I definitely do that 1-3. You got to figure that the first pick is evening out with the player. So to me, that's kind of washing out. So you're just throwing in the third.
Third's a pretty good pick, though. You know, a first, a third, and a starting player. Is that easy to give up? You think it's easy for the Eagles to give up those 2 picks?
Well, I'm looking at it where the first round pick is that's the player you're picking as Ramsey. That to me, that's the washout right there.
Well, and the other thing about the pick, it's not going to be that good. So, right. You know, it's going to be deep 20s, and you know how many of those are really great picks.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll definitely be down. I'll second that offer. The other thing is, what are you attributing? Going back to last year, now these late starts, these horrible starts.
No, I don't know. This is a really good question. The coach has to take some responsibility for it. They've got to get better input on play calls. Now, I try to wipe this last one out, because when you lose three guys at the moment you're ready to start the game, it's hot. You know, that stuns you a little bit.
Right.
So that's where coaching has to come in and go, okay, we got to go in the direction. Let's run the ball. Be run-centric. Well, we'll see how that works.
Right, there's no adjustment. But
yeah, I was disappointed in the lack of adjustment, the lack of a plan B.
Yeah. All right, so my underrated lead female singer, voice of an angel, you got to go with Amy Lee of Evanescence.
Amy Lee's a great voice, but the band wasn't big enough to get top five.
Gotcha. No, I don't think
she's a fantastic singer. She really is.
Yeah.
All right, man. Amy Lee, I considered.
Yeah, they didn't have a long run
either.
I forgot
the girl from the Cranberries, too.
Oh, yeah.
She just died.
Oh, Dolores?
Yeah.
Yeah, they had a good run.
She's great.
Yeah, she had a good run.
You know, were the Cranberries big enough to get in the top five? No, they're probably not. She's probably not big enough to get in the top five.
No.
Shirley Manson probably isn't big enough to get in the top five, but that's my own personal, you know.
Did you like the
preference? Joan Jett should probably be higher than Shirley Manson.
The Stone Ponies?
The what?
Linda Ronstadt? Did you like her?
Yeah, I liked her, but she's too.
She's not
too
really
country,
rock, right?
Country
she's
folk-ish.
Like folky. Okay.
Yeah. I like Chrissy Hynde a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She married the Breakfast Club song dude.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. What was the band called that did the Breakfast Club song? Don't You Forget About Me. Simple Minds.
The 80s were...
Simple Minds. The guy's name was Jim Kerr. Not Tim Kerr. Jim Kerr, I believe was his name.
I'm looking it up right now.
Mary Chrissy Hynde. Don't You Forget About Me, guy.
This Wikipedia is all incomplete.
Let's go to Rolling in Cape May Courthouse. Rolling, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rolling.
Yo, Mike.
What's up, buddy?
I got to thank you guys again for providing such an entertaining and educational format with sports. It's really a great show.
Yeah, we thought more rock today, though, than sports.
Well, I got to know, would you consider Tina Turner?
No, different genre. We're talking like rock front women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was more rhythm and blues with Ike, Crazy Ike.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ike and Tina review.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
There you go. Hey, listen, my point about Jalen... is this? Number one certainly, not a number three, and you can have anybody except our safeties in the defensive backfield, but not Goddard.
Well, suppose they say, well, guess what? Then we're trading them somewhere else.
Well, then you eat it.
Now they're calling your bluff. When they call your bluff, they go, listen, we got a deal with so and so team. We're going to send him to Oakland because they got a really good first-round pick. But if you threw Goddard into the deal, first, fourth, and Goddard, we can make the deal right now. Would you do it?
Yes.
You would?
Yes.
Well, you just told me you wouldn't throw Goddard into the deal.
Well, you just convinced me to do it.
All right. So you're giving up Goddard. Just like that, you're giving up Goddard. They said, we got the deal with Oakland in place. The only thing that's going to stop it, you got to throw Goddard in the deal.
1-4 and Goddard. Do it.
All right. You got it, Rolling. Tyrone?
Nah.
Gun to the head. Listen, man, I got Mayock on line 2. I'm talking to you, Howie, on line 1. Now, when I hang up the phone, I push line 2. We make the deal with Oakland. They got a nice first-round pick. Give me 1-4 and Goddard. You're saying no.
Yeah, have a good day, buddy.
Wow.
Also, good luck with that Foles.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is it easier to find another Goddard or a Jalen Ramsey?
They're both really hard to find.
Eh, You find another many, tight end.
Not top flight tight end.
Second round, you can find a tight end like Goddard. That's where you found him.
That's where you found Ertz, but they're not. There's not like there's 1,000 of those guys. I got this
guy.
Well,
if you found your two starting tight ends in the second round, then obviously Jalen Ramsey's more valuable in a tight end.
I'm not doing it. I think this guy could be otherworldly. In fact, I'm probably going to move Ertz at the end of the season. Yeah, I'm moving Ertz at the end of the year while he's still in his 20s and has value.
You think he could be Travis Kelce-like?
Yes.
You do?
I think he could possibly be better than Ertz because I think he'll give you more run after the catch. He's already actually demonstrated much more run after the catch ability. That one BS touchdown that got called back against Dallas, he did more at running after catch than Ertz ever has in his whole career.
All right, so is Travis Kelce more important than the best cornerback in the league?
No, but I'm also giving up a one.
But
I'm also giving up a one and a four, and I'm cap-strapped because I'm paying my quarterback. I have to look at the totality of the picture.
I'm just trying to argue logic here.
That's not bad logic.
You can find another tight end. Can you find another Jalen Ramsey that quickly?
Probably not.
Well, you might have to get back on line one.
I can't.
And say,
I told you what I'd do. I drew a line.
All right. Billy in Philly. You're on 97.5 at Fanatic. Billy.
Yo, first time caller. What's up?
What's going on, Billy?
I would give him the first and Dallas Goedert. You hit it right on the nose. I would give it to him immediately. Immediately.
See, I like Goddard, too, and I see where Tyrone's coming from because a lot of your offense is predicated on the 12 personnel. But I got to go, you know, a cornerback like Jalen Ramsey is much more important than a tight end. I can find a tight end more readily than I can find a Jalen Ramsey.
100%. We let Burton go after the 5 years after he was up. I mean, he was decent.
Burton. Trey Burton?
The one we sent to Chicago.
Oh, yeah, but he wasn't in the caliber of Goddard and Ertz. He was the backup player.
Oh, man, this Ramsey. Hasn't been no corner out since. He was the best one, I think, that's been.
No, you're right. He's pretty much the cream of the crop. And so if I have got to rationalize, I'm not giving up Dallas Goedert for the cream of the crop. That's hard for me to rationalize.
I'm giving him Goedert and the number one. Ty, you're crazy, man. Man.
He's got him as Travis Kelce. The kid from South Dakota.
No. Get rid of Goddard. Bring in Ramsey and let's get this Super Bowl.
All right, Billy.
Go Philly.
You got it, buddy. All right. So the two deals on the board here. First, third, Sydney. First, fourth, Goddard. You're doing first, third, Sydney? You're not doing first, fourth, Goddard.
Right, and I don't want to do first, third, Sydney, but if I have to because Oakland's on the other line, then I do it. I would prefer first, fourth.
It's like Moneyball. Billy Bean had him gone.
Yeah.
With all the phones.
That's what I'd be. You said a fifth, right? And he said, I say a third because I'll put him on hold and come back and say, you said fifth, right? Just to see if I could, but it probably wouldn't work trying to trick him.
All right, let's go to Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Mike, didn't you think that game the other night was one of the most physical games you've seen in a long time?
Yeah, it was very physical.
I mean, there's no way last night's game could follow that.
You're right.
I mean, it was almost snot-knocking tough hits.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, I would do the first, third, Sydney. I'm with Ty on that.
Would not do the second one.
I don't want to give up the tight end. We're pretty good at getting those tight ends, but if I have to, I would. I want Jalen Ramsey. We need help.
See, here's the way I look at the tight end. In every draft, there are five guys that you can pluck at that position.
Right. Right, there's been some good ones.
And in every draft, there's not a Jalen Ramsey.
That's right. That is
so.
Correct.
So logically, if I don't know how big he is on logic, but to me, that's the logic that would apply. I'd hate to give up Goddard, but I go, you know what? I get another Goddard.
Jalen's only 24, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them something with some value.
I think Jalen makes a lot of sense right now, and I'll bet how he's making the moves. But Mike, listen before I get signed off there. Chrissy Hynes got to be number one. Stevie Nicks doesn't play guitar. Chrissy Hynde writes your song. She can play guitar.
Yeah, she does.
She's a rock front woman. Stevie Nicks, if she's spinning around one
Stevie
more
doesn't
time,
play, does she? Stevie play guitar? I don't think so. I don't think she does, Tyrone.
She does.
Chrissy,
she does?
Yes.
She might play like a strum, like a rhythm strum. I've never seen her play guitar.
Lindsey Buckingham was better, but she played.
That's right. Lindsey Buckingham, she ran him out of town, but he was good.
Weren't they involved?
Yeah.
All of them were involved.
Well, look who won.
McVie was married to the drummer.
Stand up switching at some point.
Oh, they did?
They all were
involved. Swapped?
Oh, yeah. It got
everybody.
Weird. Really?
Tom, you.
I see. I don't know much about Fleetwood Mac. I don't know why I didn't like Fleetwood Mac.
I mean, they're over their entire catalog, not great. Rumors is arguably.
Uh-huh.
Like, there are people who make the argument it's the greatest rock band album ever.
I love them.
Rumors is.
I really love them.
A great album. Yeah, but at some point, yeah, they fell in love with other people. Remember back in the day when they did Behind the Music? That's when I learned all this, like in the 90s. They did their Behind the Music, and then there was some drug abuse going on, and there was this and that going on, and it got weird in that studio.
It's nice. It's nice that you know that.
It was on Behind the Music. Everybody. And then I followed up after that, but that's where I first heard it, Behind the Music.
Stephanie Lynn Nix is an American singer and songwriter. Best known for her work as a songwriter and vocalist. And I don't see where it says she plays guitar.
I'll find the guitar. I'll find a video of her playing guitar. Because I saw it in person. Yeah. At a concert when they did a reunion tour at BB&T. It wasn't called that then. I used to work there. I seen her play guitar.
All right. I'm just saying. I know you're a big Fleetwood Mac historian. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Let's update the Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. This better be lower than 8%. Anyway, Twitter poll. Yeah, it's Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie, give me less than 8.
I cannot do that, Mike.
Damn.
With over 2,000 votes on this one, what would you give up for Jalen Ramsey? 25% going a first-round pick, 29% a first-round pick and more picks, 36% saying a first-round pick and a player, and 10%.
God.
Don't want them.
10% don't. Please, I beseech you to call this show. I got to hear why you wouldn't want them. You're a troublemaker, Mike. Well, I ain't troublemakers.
Somebody, I can tell you what somebody told me on social media, a couple people.
What?
Oh, they like to play soft. So even though they're playing man, so he wouldn't fit here. I was like, so why couldn't he let the other corner play soft and sports go, hey, Ramsey,
come on,
go
man.
Do what you do.
I understand people. A player that improves your team, unless it's a crazy man like Antonio Brown, you improve the talent level of your team. Like, why would you not want that? How could you be against that? It's like the Bryce Harper thing all over again.
Well,
I don't want him.
Someone said, anytime a player demands a trade after 2 games, we don't need him in Philly. Regardless of the sport, how did Jimmy Butler work out?
But you do need him in Philly because your secondary is weak. Come on. All right, let's go to Brad Haddon Heights. Brad, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brad.
What's up, Mike?
What's going on, Brad?
I called you around draft time, and I gave you props for knowing baseball, and I gave Ty props for knowing basketball. And I told you that we should have drafted somebody in the secondary, and we did. So here's our chance to not miss out on another big fish. But I'm not giving up Goddard. I'm giving up stinking Aguilar and a number one and maybe a number three. Or Jones, a number one and a number three. And that's it.
You're not giving up Goddard.
No.
So if they say, guess what? I have absolutely no interest. Don't insult me by offering me Aguilar. Now, you got me listening to Sidney Jones, but still, I'm not doing it because I got Gruden on the other line. So either you give me Goddard or no deal. You're going no deal.
No deal.
And you're going to live with Ronald Darby and Sidney Jones and Maddox the rest of the year.
I guess.
And what do you think that does for you? Are you a little bit nervous right now?
I'm very nervous.
Okay.
But I don't want to jeopardize the next 4 years of my tight end. That's why, look at Dallas. They had to bring back Witten.
Dude, again, I'll ask you this question. More important, put him on a scale. More important, shutdown corner, second tight end.
Shutdown corner, Mike.
Well, then why would you not want it?
It's tough.
All right, man. I'm trying to crack you. I think I got a little bit of a fissure in you. I cracked you a little bit, right?
You got me, buddy.
All right, think about it more. Because you might want one of these 10%ers that I'm trying to reduce. Let's go to Tom in Deptford. Tom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Mike, listen. The only reason, and this is just in their eyes, Mike, I think what they see with Goddard is that he is going to be the future, and what's going to happen, like Ty said, they're going to get rid of Ertz next year. So that's why they're going to be so hesitant not to make that deal with Goddard. But listen, Mike, he is exactly what this team needs. I'm telling you, because he'll be a talker on the field. They don't have that kind of leader and that kind of crazy guy on the defense. You know, the guy that comes up to the lines, calling things, taking advantage, being a leader on D. They've been missing that. But listen, you could say Fletcher Cox. He's a quiet leader. He is what he is. They don't have that kind of guy that you need on a defense. And he is everything that they need. Plus, the guy can play man-to-man. We haven't seen a corner on this team in the last 5 to 7 years that can play man-to-man. You've got to make the deal. You lost that on Clowney already because you were stubborn for somebody. And now you need two needs. You don't only need a D-end or maybe a D-tackle. But now you definitely need a defensive back. You need him.
Why do you think that they would get rid of Ertz?
Because they're going to give it Ertz. Because the money's going to be involved. They can see that Goddard's going to slide in. Goddard's an actually better version of Ertz who can run, like Ty said, after the catch. That is so important now in the tight end. He's like a wide receiver now. All your tight ends that are great in this league, they can all run after the catch. And Ertz can run, but he's slow developing. Look what he did in the game. He couldn't find the sticks, Mike. That cost us that series of downs.
Well, don't you think the Eagles drafted that other tight end because the new way of playing is 12 personnel?
100%, no doubt in my mind. Okay. And now it's even better because now they go two tight end sets with that, and Goddard can break away, and now they got a lot more options offensively. He's like a sixth wide receiver on that team right now. But look what happened. When he didn't play, look, they couldn't run the ball. They could not run the ball in that first half.
All right, so even though you think they're going to get rid of Ertz, you would still do the deal and give him Goddard for that.
Do I want to? Absolutely not. But if my back's up against the wall, I'll do the deal. I'm a little hesitant, but I'll do the deal. You got to get this guy. You can't. They might not make the playoffs, Mike, with this backfield. They may not. Don't laugh. Dallas is going to go 5-0, 6-0 right out of the gate.
We have gone from the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl to now they might not make the playoffs. One loss to Atlanta.
Mike, listen to me. I don't know the way their schedule gets. I don't know.
Tom, you're sounding the alarm a little too high here. They're not, you know, in mode where they're going to miss the playoffs. We're just trying to better this team for a championship run. Now, Ertz has 2 more years left on the contract. I didn't know this, but. You know how old he is?
Is he 28?
He's going to be 29 in November.
See? So at the end of the year, if you go to move him, he's still on the right side of 30. You get as much as you can, and you transition.
I didn't realize he was that old.
Well, he's produced at a high level for actually a while now.
Yeah? Well, how old was he when he came into the league?
He might have been
24?
He might have been 23 because, you know, he's the fifth-year senior. That's a possibility. I don't exactly remember, but he goes back to the Chip era. And this is Doug's third year, so, yeah.
Well, and if they're in a precarious situation with him, it would be much more reluctant to give up Goddard.
I don't know if they're in a precarious situation. It's just an idea I would have of a guy you can move, get value, like get a good pick
for.
He's
such a friendly contract. He only makes $8 million a year for the next couple
of years. He's really productive. I don't want to trade. I'm just trying to get creative of what they may do.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's go, Tony in West Philly. Tony, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tony.
Hey, what's up, Mikey? How you doing,
buddy?
Yeah, listen, I got three quick points. I'll be as brief as I can.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, and I hate what Miami is doing right now. And I think this is causing the stigma in the NFL that if there's a disgruntled player for whatever reason, he can request a trade. And I think very soon in these new contracts, there will be stipulations placed on it to find them, or they will lose a certain amount of money to prevent this from happening again.
Wait. How are they going to legislate from a guy not asking for a trade? They can't legislate against that.
Well, I mean, it's like going to be throughout the whole NFL.
Yeah, but like you have to understand, there's a player association. Why would a player association agree that one of their constituents who could not ask for a trade? They're not going to agree to that.
I'm saying, but what if you signed a contract for a 3-year contract, and year one you requested a trade after the end of the first year?
What I'm saying is, how do you legislate? You have the freedom to do anything you want. You're under a contract, but it's not going to prevent you from asking for another contract. I mean, okay. You can't prevent that.
Well, it just looks ugly.
What are you going to do? Are you going to, like, take away his house or something? Like, what would be the punishment?
I don't know what they will do, but, I mean, it just looks ugly to me.
It's about business all the time. If you don't like your contract, you're a good enough player, you're going to ask for a new contract, you're going to ask for a trade. They can't do anything about that. They cannot give you a trade, and you can sit out, in which case you won't get paid, but you're going to have the right always to ask for a trade.
Okay, and the final thing is, I called you prior to the draft, and I said that the Eagles should pick up Parrish Campbell. They needed a couple of receivers.
You're a big Parrish Campbell guy.
Injuries happen all the time. I hate the Patriots. They didn't need Antonio Brown, but it's called depth. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to go down. Somebody else to step up. When people said DeSean Jackson went up, he went down. We didn't have another receiver to take his place. Well, that's your fault. And I would not touch Goddard. I make any move, I would not touch him.
So you're not gonna, then you're going to not get Jalen Ramsey.
Hey, you try to give him something else for him, but I would not give up.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying you don't get him unless you give him up. Would you do it?
Why do you do?
Yeah,
this,
of course
Mike?
You're going to try. Well, of course you're going to try to give him something else. But they're not fools. They want somebody in return, substantial, right? So if they say I got this other team's going to give me a higher number one than you, you better make it up with Goddard. You're saying no or yes.
Sometimes I can't stand you, Mike. You know that?
Come on, give it up, Tony.
I'm okay.
See, this is the thing. You can't, like, we can sit here and go, well, I give them some less. They dictate what they're going to ask for because they've got other choices. Like, what do you give me? Number one pick? That's not going to get me to make this deal. You better sweeten that pot because Oakland stinks. They get the 15th pick. You got 28. Give me Goddard. Yes or no? 610-632-0975.
I would say no.
Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, folks, it's time for the pierogi update. That's right. If you want to win a $500 gift card and a year's supply of Mrs. T's pierogies, the Mrs. T's pierogies is hosting the Mrs. T's pierogies tailgate showdown. That's me, Mark Farzetta, Anthony Organo. It'll happen on Sunday, October 6th. 3 finalists will be selected from all entries to compete for a grand prize. All you have to do is do this. Go to 975thefanatic.com and enter your pierogi recipe. The contest entry period ends on September 30th. 3 finalists will be selected from all entries to compete for the best winning recipe for a chance to win the grand prize. I believe we are going to be the official pierogi tasters, if I'm not mistaken.
Very jealous.
Yes. The official contest rules for all details are on our website. And if you just if you don't have a recipe, you want to attend the event, just go to our contest page and you can enter to win an invitation to the event. I've been asked to put this one out here because we're talking about Goddard. Tyrone, you're reluctant to give up Goddard. First, fourth Goddard, you said no to that deal for Jalen Ramsey. Would you give up 1, 4, and Ertz?
Also no.
Also no.
Because now, that's also a win now move. I'm trying to win now and I'm giving up my number one weapon. And then I got to rely on Aguilar in the middle of the field. No.
All right. Well, it seems like we are somehow giving an immense amount, in my opinion, too much value to Dallas Goedert, who really hasn't done anything yet. So we look at him as a guy who could be, but hasn't really done anything yet, right?
Yeah, but you have to be able to project. If you can't project, you don't stay. Yeah. You don't keep a job.
You can project with next year's second round pick. I can project.
I don't believe that every Goddard should just walk it around. I don't believe that.
Right. Okay, Andrew Phoenixville. Andrew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Mike, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Mike, I'm all in. Push the chips in, Mike.
for which one? The Goddard deal or the Sidney Jones deal?
Whatever gets the deal done, Mike, because guess what? You know what? If you do nothing and then we come back empty-handed and the secondary we got isn't cutting it, Mike, we need to upgrade.
Yeah, I think they are in a situation now where they have to know that.
They lost out on Fitzpatrick. He went to the Steelers.
Yeah, but he's a safety. So, like, the cornerback is a very important position.
So, Mike, rumor has it that only one AFC team and one NFC team are teams that made offers.
Yeah, that's I mentioned that a little earlier, that a first and a fourth and a player.
Like, I'm with you. I think we can find a tight end in the second round again next year. Guess what? If I got to throw in Goddard, and guess it's like best quarter in the league, I'm doing it, Mike.
All right, now there is a report that the Jags are asking for 2 first-round picks. So, are you out on 2 first-rounds?
Oh, I'd do that too because
you would, huh?
Then you got to push the chips in.
I don't know about 2 first-rounds.
But you got to figure our first-round pick is it going to be that high anyway, Mike?
Yeah, I hear you, but that's 2 of them. You know, and you got a couple of years where the best you can do is a second-round pick deep in the second round. I don't know.
Are you worried how far our corners can take us if we don't get Ramsey?
I am worried about it, yes. It's a dangling carrot, I will tell you this. I kind of agree with Tyrone. I wouldn't like to give up Goddard, but if that's the only way I can make this deal and they're going to make a move for some other team, then I probably would do it.
I got another question for you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Who scores more tonight, the Phillies or the Flyers?
Flyers back at it tonight? Back to back?
Up in New York against the Islanders.
Oh, man, that's a tough schedule early on for the Fly Boys.
Who puts more points on the board, the Phillies or the Flyers tonight, Mike? I'll let you guys go.
I like who's pitching for Atlanta? To Keuchel?
Yeah. He gave up one run last time.
Man, that potent lineup they have tonight with Rodriguez and Perella.
Come on.
I'm going Phillies score more than the Flyers. Flyers had a tough time lighting the lamp last night, Tyrone, at home.
No, they did.
Buffered by that home crowd.
You're right. Also, the manager, I got issues with this manager.
Who, Alain Vigneault?
No.
Oh, you know, the manager of the Phillies.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. What sense does it make at this point in the season, you're 4 out, Hazley should play every day the rest of the year. So you get him at bat so you can try to evaluate him. Why are you playing Perella in left field? What do you gain from that? You just play Hazley. He's got to learn how to hit lefties. He's got to learn. You're already out of it. It's dumb to play Perella over Hazley. He should play every day the rest of the year with Dickerson out. He should. First round pick, we pay Perella. He could be gone in a week. It's dumb managing. You know I'm right about that.
Well,
you know I'm right about that.
See, here's the thing that you have to take into consideration for your love for Hazley. They obviously aren't that comfortable with him against lefties.
Fine. But
against good lefties.
That's fine.
So their rationale is they're still trying to win some games. We're not in the business of playing a guy so he can learn to hit lefties.
So this is what I'm talking about,
his potential as a starting player. If they feel he can't hit lefties, I don't know if they're comfortable with him as a starting player and an everyday center fielder.
And I'm not comfortable with them evaluating talent.
No, I hear that. But the same guys are going to be evaluating talent next year.
Perella. He shouldn't play. Come on. You don't gain anything with that. Come on. Come on.
Perella and Rodriguez have a lot of...
That's not smart managing. It's not.
Perella.
Why? What are you doing? Even if he goes 4-for-4, it was dumb. It was dumb. You got lucky.
He's slung in a couple of singles, hasn't he?
Sure.
Jose Perella.
Next in a couple, sure.
Next in a couple. 5 o'clock hours ahead on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.